Oh, yes. Welcome back, guys. Stroll Show here, Radio Free Brooklyn. Coming at you, season four. We got some activity going on right now in studio. We got high school football heroes today joining us pre-show for tonight's Thanksgiving.
Live performance. Oh, by the way, I'm the C sitting next to me, standing next to me. We're sharing the mic like Aerosmith again.
Like Aerosmith, Sonny and Cher. I was thinking about that one all day.
Why do you go Sonny and Cher? And I go Aerosmith and Bon Jovi.
Because I've been thinking about this this infomercial I saw when I was a kid. It was like the greatest hits of Sonny and Cher. And they were like singing like real close to each other.
How many did they have?
More than you would think, I feel like.
What's that one? Babe. Come on, sing with me.
I know. Babe. Oh, that's the one. Oh, I was like, what the hell is he talking about? But
they
we're here.
Say our love won't pay the rent. You don't know that one?
No, I didn't actually buy the compilation album. But anyway, so we're here in studio, High School Football Heroes. They're setting up. We got a little baby grand piano in here. We got a couple fine instruments and I think I talked about playing an MP3 track to start this off to get this guy some time to set up and everything.
Yeah,
so
a little, like a bit tune, whatever those things were called back in the day.
Not the toothbrush ones.
Oh, the tooth tunes.
Tooth tunes. Yeah, tunes? I had a Justin Bieber one of those, but that's neither here nor there.
Did you buy it for yourself?
I got it for free at summer camp.
All right. Well, that's allowed.
That's allowed. All right. Good. So let's play this hot track.
It's hot MP3. We'll play the full song because we have it. We don't have a bit tune. We have the actual full hot MP3 release.
So what's which one you guys want to play off? Was this 2K15 or 2K14? Which one you guys want?
Let's hear Piece by Piece. We're gonna play that one tonight.
All right. There we go.
Sounds good. All right. This is Piece by Piece by High School Football Heroes. We'll be back with the band and a live performance shortly after that. You're listening to The Stroll Show, Radio Free Brooklyn.
Running out of room. but there's more to me than ever met your eyes, and there's sure to be a few more severed ties. If they hold you down, you'll never see the light of day. It's too hard to change yourself in every which way.
All right, we're back, and we finally found all the plugs we needed to plug in all the shit. So now we're ready to go. You guys can curse on the show just in case you guys want to know. So we want to welcome the guys, High School Football Heroes.
Yo, what's up? How you guys doing?
We got Jason, George, and Dave.
All right, so just for voice orientation, introduce yourself, and then also list your favorite movie of the 90s. I want to know that. Okay, we got nothing.
I'm George, and my favorite movie of the 90s would have to be... Ooh, this is a tough one. Cool Runnings.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah, Cool Runnings.
You just hit it out of the park, bro. No one's going to follow that one up. But anyway, continue.
Yeah, I'm Dave, and my favorite movie of the 90s, it's a little-known film called Airborne.
Oh.
Are you familiar
with
it?
I think I know about that movie.
It's Seth Green's greatest work.
I'm gonna be honest. I was gonna go with Cool Runnings. I'm Jason, and I don't know if I can think of another movie from the '90s. Was Fight Club in the '90s, or is that like 2001?
'99.
All right.
Fight Club. You made the cut.
I'll go Fight Club.
All right. So what's yours then? If you're asking everybody.
Mine is. I would say. I'm trying to think. Now I don't know. Cool Runnings was a pretty good one. That really hit me hard. But what about Batman Forever?
Oh yeah, that's a good one.
With Tommy Lee Jones what's his name? Jim Carrey. He's not even in movies anymore.
Val Kilmer as Batman at that point.
I hated Val Kilmer as Batman.
I can't keep track of all the Batmans. Like,
there's a lot of them
running
around.
How many incarnations of them are there at this point?
Was Batman? Batman Returns, Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, and then shit got real after that with Chris Nolan.
Yeah, and the Dark Knight series.
Yeah. Anyway, so off that topic. What's going on with you guys? How you guys doing today?
We're good.
So you guys have obviously a big show coming up tonight. Maybe talk about that a little bit.
Sure. Tonight we're playing with Less Than Jake, who, when we started this band, we said, hey, let's try to sound like Less Than Jake. These guys are doing it right. So we originally set a lot of our goals to be similar to, and especially their losing streak record, which is the record they're playing tonight. So it's very exciting. And then besides them playing is also Mustard Plug, who... If we're going to name top bands that influenced us besides Less Than Jake, Mustard Plug has got to be right up there at the top. So this should be a good one tonight.
Yeah, nice. Let me get in that microphone. All right, so what have you guys been up to recently? Because I know you guys got this big show coming up tonight. You guys been preparing for such a show? And you guys got – I know you guys talking about some new tunes that have been in the works.
Yeah, I mean, we always like to continuously work on new music. And recently, we've been trying to pull back a little bit on the live performances, and that's kind of the direction we're headed. We want to really focus on making new music and getting as much new material out there as possible. I think most bands would share a similar sentiment, that as the years go on, you know, you really stay engaged by writing new music and playing stuff that that means a lot to you and keeping the material fresh.
Yeah. How do you feel about like playing shows nowadays? Like that you brought that up. Like, do you think obviously it still has value, but does it have less value than it used to? Like back in the days before like social media, or you could maybe even go on the other side and say now it's even more important because not many bands are playing that many shows, and it's kind of hard to make fans on social media because that's even more blown up. So like, I don't know. How do you find the balance between social media and playing gigs?
Yeah.
I agree. With what you were saying, I think social media is real tough to hit people for the first time on if they don't already know us. There's so many bands going for the same people there that it's tough to stand out. Lately, we've done a couple of vlogs of shows. That's what I'm shooting in here today with the video camera. We've made a couple of videos of live songs. We're trying to find ways to make our social media a step better, especially as we try to step back from shows to make each show count that much more. But it's tough. We still love playing shows. I love performing. Every time we get to do it, it's a great experience. But with everybody right now, we have a lot of guys living in different states in the band. George right here is what are you, Massachusetts right now?
Yep.
And then
that's crazy. Okay.
we got two guys in Jersey. And so it makes it tough to meet up for shows and then work around the show timing. While it's sometimes easier just to get together and write a song because we can do it on whatever time works for everybody in our band and not necessarily on a Saturday night or a Friday night. And that's where we found excitement lately.
Yeah. But just in general, like with playing shows too, like trying to find, there's a question in my head that I'm trying to formulate because I'm in a band too. And, you know, I've found over the years, I've stopped playing as many shows too. And it's not that I don't want to play that many shows. It's because like there's not as much demand and you don't want to like saturate the market if you're a band that's like not super known and you want to kind of like hit the shows that matter, rather have 30 meaningful shows in a year than like 150 shows that like mean nothing to you and you're just kind of like playing some basement. Not that that is not important too, but I'm just saying like, what do you think has caused that change? Is it just getting older or is it just the way music is kind of developing now in general?
I agree. It's tough to play shows, every show like that, like we used to. There was a time where we used to play every show we possibly got asked to play. I remember us playing, you know, four shows in a weekend, that happening back-to-back weekends, and we'd play sometimes the morning show and the night show at the same club when we used to play at Ground Zero years ago. And it's tough, too. We're not as young as we once were. We don't have as much energy. We can't, you know, after a show, I'm pretty knocked out. I don't know. I can't speak for these guys, but I'm knocked out, so to then play a first or second set is tough. And to load up, we also bring a lot of equipment around. I bring a piano and a saxophone and a guitar and drums, and we bring all this stuff to every show, and just the loading itself is, it knocks you out. So, I don't know.
Doing that like 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 shows in a row, that's
sure.
Rough. That's rough.
We also all now have full-time jobs. That was something else we didn't have when we were younger, so, you know, we'd work 10 hours a week and then also play shows, so it was fine. Now it's tough. We're all old and tired.
like Jay was saying, you know, we would love to play every show that we're asked to play. There's nothing that makes us happier than being on stage and performing our music. But, you know, logistically, yeah, I think that getting older does play a little part in that. It's a little bit more difficult to get 7 guys in the same place on the same day at the same time.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing, too. Like, my band is a 2-piece, and it's tough. You know, like, I can imagine, like, with all the shit, I mean, you ska bands are fucking insane.
You're smart. Just 2 guys.
But, yeah, so like, let's hear a song, if that's cool, if you guys are ready. What are you going to gift us with today? What kind of jelly are you gonna spread on my toast?
This first one we're gonna play is called Like Dynamite. Dave wrote it. Dave, you got something you want to say about it that you wrote?
Well, we were really excited to release 2K15. We put it out in what month was it? June of 2015, I believe.
You think you're right.
And we released something in 2014, 2K14. But 2015, I think we really had a little more time to write collectively and to kind of put the songs together a little more completely than we have at points in the past. So we're really proud of this release, and it's free for streaming and download all over the internet. So check it out. This is the first track.
Yeah, I think this is when we recorded this one, I think we all agreed we thought this was the best song we had recorded at that point. So we're excited about it. This is the first time we've ever played it acoustic out, I think, right? So
this might be the first time we've played any song acoustic out.
Yeah, well, we didn't practice this until this morning. These guys came to my house at 9:30. We practiced it and we're ready now.
Yeah, so cut us some slack. Right? Yeah.
No, thank you guys. That's amazing. Just for the stroll. This is a stroll exclusive.
Yeah, stroll exclusive.
I think we're getting close, but nobody knows. I've asked around and there's a difference of opinion in where this road may really go. It feels we're getting cold, but we may never know. And if you listen closely, you'll hear somebody saying no. But he has to know, it went much further than it had to go. I thought this was my second home, a place where I can lick my wounds and rest my broken bones. And now we're all alone. And if you listen closely, you'll hear somebody saying, this is what I deserve. I don't know why I ever thought you were as good as your word. Teach me to walk in a new direction. Show me how to like my own reflection. I can see your eyes are rolling into the back of your head again. There's a real fine line, I cross it all the time. If anybody happens to find a mind, well, it's mine. The worst part never ever got any better, and the lingering effect may just follow me forever, I guess. This is what I deserve. I don't know why I ever thought you were as good as your word. Show me how to like my own reflection. I can see your eyes are rolling into the back of your head again. Maybe I'd be better off just hanging out alone up on the rooftop. Of your head again. Maybe I'd be better off just hanging out alone up on the rooftop. That could be the remedy. Tell me something I can't believe. Maybe I'd be better off just hanging out alone up on the rooftop. That could be the remedy. Please tell me something I can't believe.
Hell yeah, guys. Thank you so much. That's High School Football Heroes, Piece by Piece.
No, that's like Dynamite.
Like Dynamite.
Oh, Piece by Piece was the MP3 we played. That hot MP3.
I was back filling that one. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I think an acoustic record should be in the works for you guys.
Yeah, that was
that's really sounded nice.
Thank you.
It's a lot of fun. It's just you know, with seven people, we like to bring a lot of noise. We like our horn section. We like our loud sound.
Yeah.
But this is fun also. This is a cool change of pace.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. I'll say definitely, as soon as we started playing this morning, I'm like, we should try things like this a little more often.
Like a little like B-side type deal, you know, something a little
And then it's a little easier to get together and do a couple of shows, right? Because only three dudes, right? I'm just saying. I'm just giving you, hang on. Maybe you need a manager.
Don't
maybe
tempt somebody.
No, the rest of the guys, they're crap. I'll get rid of them. The other four.
We'll cut them right now. But let me ask, I want to ask you guys this question, because you haven't made music in a while, but previous to 2014, right? It was like 2006 or something.
That's
like
correct,
that?
Correct, yeah.
What was the change of heart? You were like, you know, want to come back and put some songs out there again. Was there some sort of like inspiration or something happened in your guys' lives that made you want to pick it up again?
It kind of starts earlier than that, I guess. We started doing the band when I was about 17. Some of these guys were 16 and 15. So, and now I'm 33, to give you an idea. So we did the band. We've been doing the band for a very long time. And when you start out as the band, we were all just friends. And I hardly even knew George and Chris, our bass player at the time. And over time, you know, these guys became my best friends. And we toured the country. And You eventually, being in a band is kind of like a relationship with seven people, and you get sick of each other after a while, and fighting starts, and people get annoyed at little things that really aren't that annoying and shouldn't be driving each other crazy, but it does. And we needed a break, I think. I think it was good and healthy for us. A lot of us, I think, played in different bands during that time. We learned things about ourselves musically, and now we can come back with a fresh take on things. Nothing, at least to me, so specifically changed as much as it was kind of the right time.
What are some of those annoying things that happen? I really want to know about that. Is it like, oh, this guy, he clips his toenails in the van. What the fuck?
No, we kept having guitar players quit. I'd say that was the most annoying thing.
Yeah, I mean, there was a good 2.5 year period where we had pretty much a rotating guitar player.
Yeah.
And some great ones along the way.
Yeah, sure. We loved all the guitar players we played with, but right now we're playing again with a guy from Jersey. We played with a guy from Florida. We've Long Island guys. We've gone through a lot of different versions of that. Dave plays trombone normally with the band, but sometimes Dave has had to switch to play guitar because nobody can play guitar.
Right.
So suddenly we just had a one-person horn section instead of.
So does that mean like a lot of the songs kind of get written on piano first, or like oh,
Dave writes all the songs. Dave writes all the songs.
Looking at you, big boy.
What's up, man?
So you kind of have like the ideas of the songs and then bring it to the band? Is that how it works for you? Like,
yeah, I mean, typically our songs will start with some sort of a vocal arrangement or a melody, and the horn lines are usually kind of pieced together in whatever parts of ideas I have floating around.
Yeah, so because you do both. You can play guitar, so you can write on guitar, and then also you do the trombone, you say?
Well, yeah, sure.
So you can kind of visualize the lines of the horns and stuff, kind of putting all that together in your head.
Yeah, I'd say that's the majority crazy. Of our songs are for the most part written before anyone's picked up an instrument and played it or sang it or anything, you know?
See?
But that being said, once a song's brought to the table, it really becomes a High School Football Hero songs once everybody begins playing it and putting in their unique styles.
Right,
and,
right.
You know, it's always, everything's tweaked, people putting great ideas, so I might come in with the ideas for the song, but it's not exactly a one-man show when it comes to making our music.
Yeah, totally. I'm very curious with, like, writing with such a big group of people. Like, how long does it take to finally say, okay, now the song is done?
About 20 minutes.
Well, okay.
Gives you an idea of how much time we spend writing.
Yeah, it's not much. It's mostly just radio interviews for us.
They're on the world tour already.
All right, well, I don't know if that was serious, or I don't know what to think.
25.
Dave writes very fast. Dave is, it's impressive how fast Dave writes. Sometimes we'll fill in, we play horns with other bands every once in a while, and Dave is very, very fast. It takes me a lot longer. I have to slowly write songs when I write songs. But Dave goes, and so Dave, yeah, will bring us a song with most of the structure there, and then at that point, you know, first it's usually with our drummer Joe, and Joe adds his own flourishes on drums, and then our bassist joins in, and from there it kind of grows to everybody, and then we add piano on top at the end, and it comes together. But it takes a while before the whole band gets it. But
yeah, that's kind of what I was getting at, like for the whole band, all these different moving parts to kind of be on the same track of the song, like. I feel like that must take more than 25 minutes.
It takes a little bit, but I'll say, as we've played together a long time, five of us have been playing together since, you know, I don't know, what, we were 18, 17? So we've been playing together a long time. We learn songs, and especially Dave's songs, we've been playing Dave's songs for a long time. We know where Dave's going before Dave shows us there, and we've started to write songs very fast at this point, especially when we can't get together all that often. It becomes, it's serious, we have to go right now, and yeah, that's kind of how it comes together.
Yeah, that's a good point. It wasn't always like that. You know, way back in the day when we were writing music, it wasn't like, let's get together and a half an hour later we're playing the song and running it to try to get it tight. But over the years, when you play music with the same people and over, like Jay said, you kind of feed off each other and you read each other and you know what's coming, what to expect, what type of style you might be messing around with. And, you know, we've played with other musicians in other projects, and it's honestly not the same when you're playing with a group of guys you're not as familiar with on a musical level.
I can imagine.
Yeah, Dave will show me a horn line, and right away I know where he wants my sax harmony to be, and so he doesn't even have to tell me. And
you like know his writing style.
Exactly, yeah. I know what he's going to want.
Chemistry, yeah.
Yeah. And you build that over, you know, playing 15, 18 years together.
Yeah, so how do you guys record now? Because I know George living up in Massachusetts. How do you guys like send MP3s to each other or something? Or like how do you guys do it? Or you wait till you guys all get together back in Long Island?
Well, right now, we're really kind of screwed.
Yeah, we've been recording with Tom Malinowski from FAD and Bomb the Music Industry, and he just moved to Oregon. So now at the moment, we're looking for a new place to record our new record. But when we do it, it's usually we kind of go in one at a time. Dave will go in and usually like a scratch track for the guitar. Then our drums come in, and then each piece comes in one at a time. But George will come down eventually. George's whole family is from Long Island, so he comes here often enough. I don't know, what do you hear? At least once a month?
I try to be. But Dave, he'll send me like scratch tracks of just him and an acoustic guitar months before. This way I could kind of start learning the vocal melodies and stuff, and I'll tweak it when I get to the studio and surprise him.
Yeah, the rest of us will generally, when we're writing a song, the six of us, I guess, we'll write it all out, and it's all ready, and then George comes in, usually he knows all the vocals and just is singing over the top of the music.
To me, it sounds like a real, like, labor of love. Like, you guys, like, are going through all these hoops to make this shit happen and continue to make it happen. What is it? What is it about it that you... That you keeps you coming back, you know.
It's the money
and the hoes.
Yeah.
It's the money. It's the groupies. It's the free hard drugs at every concert.
Yeah. People are always handing us hard drugs.
I get to play music with six of my best friends.
Right.
Still.
So you give me the answer that I was looking for.
Yeah.
See, Dave sticks his dick up my ass. I'm sorry, but seriously, I could see like you guys. You know, you're close. So I mean, it must be. There must be some reason that you stay together, right? It's friendship is what's
sure, at. And it forces us to see. George lives in Massachusetts now. I would probably not see George all that often if we didn't play in this band together. And I'd say it's almost more important now that he lives farther away. It forces us to see each other, and that's a good thing. We like seeing each other.
Yeah.
It's not like forced is maybe the wrong word, but I won't leave my house. I don't know.
You get old, you get lazy.
Exactly.
That's what happens.
I'll just sit around and I'll watch TV, and that's all I really would do. But if I do bands to force myself, I'll book a show. It's like, all right, well, now I have to go do this show. And so that's why I book things.
Also, as a ska band, I think there's a certain level of pride in playing the music that we do.
Right.
And, you know, everybody's got an opinion on ska, whether it be good, bad, you know, indifferent or the I don't care approach. But we love playing it. And there's been a lot of great bands to play the genre over the years. There's still a lot of great bands playing it today. And
helping carry the torch.
Yeah, you know, be part of the scene. Keep some action going and, you know, try to give back to the scene that we kind of grew up in.
Totally. Did you? I know that the ska thing is really near and dear to Flo's heart. So, is there any ska related questions you might want to ask?
Related, not so much related, but is it's you know, I had something and it kind of just slipped my mind.
I got something though.
You got something?
Yeah. So, like, what do you think was like that moment when ska like blew up? Right, we all know it was kind of like. Probably like No Doubt, right? Like that, like blew it up. Would you say like to the
sure,
point
the
where
Mighty Mighty Boss Stones, No Doubt. Around that time in the 90s, mid 90s,
right? So, and then like it kind of was there for that brief moment, then like it went away. What do you think caused that? Do you think, and why do you think there is this stigma towards it? Because it's like too fun. It's like too much fun. Well, is that a problem?
Can it be too much fun?
I don't think it's a problem. I have a kind of unique opinion, and it certainly doesn't stand for the rest of the members in the band. But a lot of the ska bands that really pushed it into the mainstream, it wasn't that, like, fun, joking type of music. You know, it was really serious stuff with substance, a lot of it. And, you know, it changed a little bit. And I think that in the late 90s, it kind of took on a different persona, a little goofier, a little more happy-go-lucky.
And it became a caricature of itself.
A little bit, yeah. And I think that over time, people, that type of... not stigma, but that type of association with it can kind of turn people off after a little bit.
And there was almost a backlash, and you see an emo as being like almost the anti-ska at that point. Where yeah.
Like so soon afterward, like give it time. It's, yeah. You know, at least people hair metal had its day,
yep.
Right? Yeah. And then grunge came and wiped it away. But at least, you know, like, I don't know.
It went from very happy to very sad.
Yeah.
And at the same shows, where, you know, we saw the same people around us. And in fact, the band I was in before I was playing with these guys went from being a ska band to an emo band, which is why I stopped playing with them, because they didn't have a use for a saxophone player anymore.
Wow.
And it's funny. It was like things changed, I guess, quickly. When we started this band, as I was saying earlier, Less Than Jake was a band we looked at, and it was specifically, as much as we liked bands like the Aquabats and Real Big Fish, those bands were a little sillier, and we wanted to do something we thought was serious at the time. And because we didn't want to appeal to those people that were for maybe sadder music. Not that we wanted to be sad music, but we wanted to kind of bridge that gap.
Yeah, no, because I feel like today, like a lot of more like newer ska bands, it's like a combo of like ska music and like pop punk,
sure,
kind of vibe like that. I don't know if that's like the evolution of it now or something. I don't know, because I'm, you know, like Survey Says or something like that. Like right. They have like two different like unique aspects coming into
themselves. We got nothing good to say about those guys. Survey
nothing
Says,
at all.
amazing people. We love those guys. They're actually kind of reformed, rebranded. Now they're called Keep Flying. And they're hitting the road on a regular basis. And those guys really do things the right way. You know, they have a serious approach to what they do. They work as hard as anybody I could even think of in the music industry. But yeah, I think there is a little bit of that mold of the genres with that kind of new age pop punk mixing into a little bit of the horns pulled from direct third wave ska. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it has to do with like where you guys grew up too, for the reason as to why you got into ska in the first place? Is it kind of like a regional thing in a way?
Sure. For me, the first show I ever went to, I saw Edna's Goldfish and the Ska Flows play, and that was it opened my mind up to this whole
I see Steve's country. Face is just like, yes, yes, keep talking,
speaking my language.
And those guys definitely blew me away, and I thought they were rock stars, even though I was at a show in with, you know, maybe 80 people there. I decided these guys were, you know, that's what I want to be. And yeah, it set us off on this path. You know, bands like Catch 22, a lot of the local bands, Big D and the Kids Table, the local bands that were out there touring and doing stuff was what inspired us early on.
What is it about like the Northeast that a lot of ska music comes from? Because it seems kind of weird. You think about it, because like you kind
of
get
white
like
kids.
A lot of white kids.
A lot of white kids with money.
That's amazing. That's
their
amazing.
Parents gave them like horn lessons and stuff, so you got a lot of horn players around.
Brass instruments are expensive.
Yeah.
Now that I'm 18, what the hell am I going to do with this $2,500 saxophone?
Yeah, you got to do something with this thing. So that's true. That's why we're still doing the band. We got to get some use out of these instruments. We're still sitting on.
Got to pay them off. We got those monthly bills.
So you guys want to maybe jump into another song?
Sure.
Real quick? We're like more than halfway through the show.
Cool.
So what's this jam?
This next one's called Exigent. It's on the 2014 record. Yeah, we're not going to be playing this one tonight, so this is your only chance to hear it today. And
another Stroll exclusive. And we're going Facebook Live with this one too, just so anybody wants to know, go to the Stroll Show with C and the Flow on Facebook, and we'll be live with this jam.
All right.
There was trouble with my vision, I could only see straight. But I knew that there was trouble around. The more I think about it, I had nothing in place. And I really didn't wanna know how. Now I'm worn down, and I'm out of excuses. The world came down, and we hung on its nooses. You wanna say yes, but you always say no, for reasons that you never did know. Well, that it makes you feel better, so you better make up your mind before I go. Waiting here patiently, and I've been wasting my time. I try to make the best of things, even though it always feels like someone's trying to get me from behind. It feels like life is never fair. Enemies are everywhere. Or maybe I'm caught up inside my mind. Now I'm worn down, and I'm out of excuses. The world came down, and we hung on its nooses. You wanna say yes, but you always say no, for reasons that you already know.
you know that it makes you feel better, so you'd better make up your mind before I go. I've been waiting here patiently, and I've been wasting my time. It's okay to be a little less innocent. Every day should feel a little more different. When you talk to me, there's something wrong, you see. It's a mystery, like some of history. It's okay to walk a narrower avenue with a chip on your shoulder and a positive attitude. Can you talk to me? Come on and walk with me till we've got nowhere to go. At least you know that it makes you feel better, so you'd better make up your mind before you go. I've been waiting here patiently, and I've been wasting my time. Well, now you know that it makes you feel better, so you'd better make up your mind before I go. I've been waiting here endlessly, and I've been wasting my time.
All right, guys. We got High School Football Heroes here, Stroll Show, Radio Free Brooklyn. About halfway done with the show. I want to ask you guys, I want to go way back in the day. I want to know what you guys' first memories are of each other, first time meeting each other. What was that like?
I got a great Dave story for you.
I guess you tell the story, but it must be the same one.
I met Dave. Dave had not been playing the trombone for very long when I met Dave. I was playing in a different band called the Drew Hermans at the time. And Dave came down. Dave was friends with someone else who was in the band, and we were looking for a trombone player. So Dave, I'm told, plays trombone. And like, oh, let's bring this guy down. Let's have him try out for the band. So we used to practice in this church, and we were in the basement of this church to practice. So we're down there, and Dave comes down, and I'm teaching him a couple of the horn lines. And we'd play for an hour, we'd go eat dinner, and then we'd go play for another hour. So that's how we did it. I was 14 to 15 at the time. So we play, and I'm teaching Dave a couple of the horn lines, so you know, to see if he'll try out. He's going to play with us. So Dave is playing the horn lines. Dave's obviously not that good. He just started playing the instrument. So we finish up about our hour, and we're like, all right, time to get some, food. So we head up to White Castle. We're like, Dave, you want to come get food with us? Mostly just to get to know the guy. We're trying this guy out for our band. Do we like this guy? We want to hang around with him? No.
The White Castle, that's like almost like a date.
Sure,
I
mean,
right. That's
six guys and Dave. And Dave goes, no, I'll stay here. We're like, you're going to stay here in the basement of the church, or you don't know anybody? He's like, yeah, I'm going to stay here. So we go, okay. Now, mind you, we didn't know Dave. Nobody in the band knew Dave at all. The one guy that knew him wasn't there that day for whatever reason. So
Dave's luck, right?
Yeah. So
who was the other person?
Doyle. Doyle from the Fad. So Dave is there, and I forget this guy's name right away. I'm not very good with names. So I start calling Dave Warren, because at 15 I thought this was funny to just call someone by a name that I didn't know. And Dave doesn't correct me, so the rest of my band assumes I know what I'm talking about. They're all calling him Warren too. So we leave Warren there while we go get dinner, and we're all like, that's real weird that guy didn't come with us. He's just sitting back there with our equipment. Hope he's not going to like rob us or something right now. So we go to dinner, we come back, and Dave is asleep. He's passed out on the couch. And we're like, do we wake this guy up? So we just start playing music, and eventually he wakes up, and that's how I met Dave. Dave was not in the band, and then about 2 months later, that's the band that broke up from being that was a ska band and became an emo band.
Okay.
And then I joined Dave's band. And that's how I met Dave.
So which band became the High School Football Heroes?
We used to be in a band called the Jimmy Kickers before this, and a number of us were in that band. A number of the guys in the Fad were in that band, and we kind of split into the two bands, into High School Football Heroes.
Was not in that band.
George was in neither.
No.
I have a different story about George I can tell you real quick.
Please do.
Please.
So I met George. I had met George quickly. Dave brought me to his school. George and Dave went to school together. I'm from Plainview. These guys are from Levittown. So Dave brings me to his school one day. He introduced me real quick to this guy, and he's like, hey, this guy, we're going to play some music with him in the future. He plays trumpet. So I go, okay, cool. Let's, well, you know, whatever. So then I go see this show, and it was, Newfound Glory and Midtown, a whole bunch of big bands, Movie Life. This was during that emo craze.
McCall's Catering.
Yeah. Exactly.
Dashboard Confessional opened.
Yeah, they must have fit like 1,200 people into a place that probably should have been, about three?
Now that show would play like Madison Square Garden, but it was a tiny place at the time. And me and George each came with someone that we didn't really know that well. And we didn't know each other at the time. But we ended up being online, like right next to each other while we were waiting to get in. And we both decided we liked each other better than the friends we came with. So we ditched the two friends that we didn't know that well. And that's how I met George. We hung out that whole night and then we were in a band together.
I knew the guy that I went with very well, and he was a fucking weirdo. So I just needed to get away from him.
I didn't know my guy that well.
You want to add to that?
What?
You want to add to that? Who is it?
I will not add to that. Okay. But he is a butcher now.
All right.
So you can't add to that.
Butchers are never weird.
Well, he's got a meat cleaver, so you got to be careful.
That's true.
For that, he's got mean knife skills, so for sure.
So go ahead.
No, continue.
So George and I ditched our friends, and then we became friends. And
that was it.
That's history.
Then we got Chinese food many times after. Jason would get chicken with broccoli. Hold the broccoli.
Can they do that? I thought it was like one big pot of chicken and broccoli.
No. You find the right place.
They're picking out the broccoli for you?
So basically everything involves food with you, Jason.
All my stories come back to food.
Do you have a memory of like the first show you guys played together as the group you're here now with?
I had my finger in my ear the whole set, and then I got scolded at by the band for that.
He would stare at our drummer, Joe, who's been playing with us this whole time, and he'd stand there with his finger in his ear singing. We're like, you can't do that.
I had no idea what I was doing. Who wants to watch
a show where the singer's looking backwards and with his hand in his ear? I'm like, you gotta look at the crowd, put on a show, man.
What? It was just too loud. It was just like too loud.
No, I just had no idea what I was doing.
Oh, okay. So you think, I saw this on TRL.
Yeah, someone else did it.
You have no idea what you're doing and you're trying to sing. If you hold your ear, it fixes everything.
Yeah.
That's the trick.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So at this point, I thought I was going to be in the band playing trumpet. And then we were at a recording session and they were just like, hey, you're a singer.
Yeah. We played our first three shows with a different singer. And George was just our trumpet player. And we went down to recording and we're there recording with this other singer. And this guy is sitting there, and he's doing his takes over and over. And I'm in the room with him while I'm trying to like coach him through his stuff. And we could hear clearly from the other room, the rest of the band, like, we got to get rid of this guy. We need someone new. George, you're going to be the singer. And like, this guy is like sitting there so sad, trying to like record his parts. And I'm like, guys, you guys got to shut up. This guy's right there. But from then on, George was our singer that day on.
Is like everybody in the band like a multi-instrumentalist?
Just about all of us, yeah. I think everybody in the band plays at least two things. Not with the band necessarily, but everybody plays something else.
I find that interesting. Like, what gets you into playing like a brass instrument? Like, I never had. I mean, maybe saxophone. I kind of thought about because I was in a jazz band in high school, right. But I was already a drummer. So like, I didn't learn another instrument. Maybe I should have, but like, I was too busy playing drums in all the bands because they didn't have a drummer.
Right.
Right. So like I didn't think about playing that stuff, but I had never really had a notion to do it. So what makes you guys interested in that?
Go
ahead, George.
When I was in third grade, I wanted to play saxophone, but I was told that there were too many kids playing saxophone. So I wanted to play drums after that. And then I was told no by the band teacher. So trumpet was my third choice and I got it.
My story is almost the same, actually. I wanted to play the saxophone. My uncle played saxophone. I thought he looked real cool playing the saxophone. He still plays in bands.
You do look cool playing saxophone, right?
I thought it was like such a cool instrument. I liked Springsteen. I still do. And Clarence Clemens I thought was cool. Oh, yeah. So I wanted to play the saxophone. And I told them I played the saxophone. They said, no, we've got too many kids playing the saxophone. So they gave me the violin, and I played that for a few years. Then I quit the violin because at the time when I was in fifth grade, it wasn't cool to be with all the girls in there. So I wanted to be, you know, with all the boys and playing an instrument like that. So I taught myself how to play saxophone. I just rented one and learned how to play in my basement and then joined the band the next year.
That's insane.
When I was 13, I was in middle school, and a bunch of my friends were starting the ska band. So they needed a trombone player. So I bought a trombone and learned how to play the trombone. And that's about, that's how the Jimmy Kickers happened.
Out of necessity, you learned an instrument.
Just why not? I'm going to be a
trombone player. This is pre-YouTube, no less, right?
So
you just kind of just picked it up and
I bought a book and like it's hold down this key and it makes this sound.
Like
and
a VHS like tape or something.
Yeah, something like that. And then, and a lot of the other instruments are kind of more similar to Dave. I learned how to play piano and guitar out of necessity. My bands needed it. We needed a piano player, so somebody had to learn. So I started banging on it till it sounded right.
That's crazy. I respect the hell out of that because that can't be an easy instrument to learn and then also to like practice in a house.
I have a piano. My wife, she had a piano in her family and they gave it to me. Nobody played it anymore, so I bang on that and she hates it. She's forced to hear it a lot.
But even like learning the the brass instruments too, like especially when you're just learning and it sounds like shit probably, like and you're just like you're fucking strangling a cat. Like your parents must be like fuck. Like you must have had supportive families. I mean, I don't want to get too personal. I'm just saying.
No, that's why we were saying, it's all white kids in ska bands, supportive parents that could listen to that honking of the horns over and over. Yeah.
I could barely listen to it. It was terrible.
Bad Horns are that's another thing about why ska might not have done so well. There were so many bands, and a bad horn section sticks out way worse than a bad guitar player in another band kind of band. You can hear right away when you go see a band if their horn section's not good. So I think it sticks out, and people right away could find bad bands there.
That's true.
Yeah, that's the thing that really blows my mind too about ska music is like you have a. It's like a bit, it's almost like the new version of a big band, right? Like big bands, like, and you have to have like if you have like three different brass instruments, they all have to not only be in rhythm together, which is that's hard enough, but they got to be tuned, and then like you're doing the highs and the lows, like, I mean that, I just gotta you know give you props because that's not easy to do.
For years, Dave and I used to meet up and just do horn practice. We would just play our horn lines and try to make sure they were all in sync and that we changed this you know harmony or that, and it was many times just me and Dave would practice together, the two of us, or when we had other horn players at different times they would join us, and yeah, it's almost like a separate band within the band.
It's crazy. It's like do they like you guys have like basketball games against each other, like horns versus all the instruments?
No, I don't think we should.
We should start that up.
Yeah, horns versus rhythm section.
One person would have to be the referee, though. Cause,
that's you, yeah, George.
George should be the ref?
I think that if I was with you guys, we would annihilate the other team.
Oh, shit. You're throwing
think,
it down,
I think
George.
That
he's got better ball skills.
Could take our rhythm section in basketball if you were the ref.
Damn. Yeah, we're the more athletic part of the band, I'd say. That's well,
Dave's like 7 feet tall.
The taller part, yeah.
like dunking on people.
Well, George is the best basketball player.
No, I could just run. That's about it.
That's all you need. That's all you really need. You could be the point guard of the group.
Yeah.
So we're kind of wrapping up. We're like maybe like another 10 minutes or so. I kind of want to ask this, like maybe like a little more serious question. Because you guys have been doing this so long, and you have so much experience in your different realms, different bands, and there's you know, I find it interesting now that like not a lot of kids seem to be getting into bands, right? Do you find yourself like playing shows with younger bands that like kind of look up to you and want advice from you and like
no, really, a little bit here.
We play shows with the same bands you played shows with 10 years ago, and the fans are just older.
Yeah, we don't get to play with that many young bands. It's rare. Because
there's not many, right?
There like aren't many.
Like especially in like maybe the ska realm or whatever. Like, well, I mean, if you let's say this, if you could give advice to any young band, not just ska. What would it be? Like, what? Because you have so much experience. You have so much, 18 years of knowledge of doing this, right?
My word of advice would be don't break up. If you got a band that's doing its thing and you're happy and you got a good group of people, stay with it, you know? I think that a big thing when we kind of disbanded in 06, I think that a lot of us just kind of felt like it's easy to just go out and start another band and we, you know, if we want to. But it's not. You know, you put a lot of time and effort into establishing something. And if you got something that works and you're happy and it's sounding good, then stick with it. Even if things get tough, you don't have to play as often. But no reason to turn the dial off completely.
No, and the thing today's longevity too. Like you gotta, if you like whatever success is, if you want to be successful, you have to keep coming back and keep coming back and keep coming back. So not giving up is definitely like the first thing I would say to a band, like, because it does get hard.
Yeah, it's tough.
You know, like it does get hard, and it like when you're playing all those shows like that no one's at, like you could be like, oh fuck this, I'm throwing my horn in the fucking garbage. Yeah. You know, like, whatever.
Yeah, enjoy the ride. I would suggest that. Yeah, more with Dave saying, these are your friends, and take it that way, and don't take the whole thing so seriously. I think we did a lot of years of taking it very serious, and now at this point, I look at it not that much different than my softball team I play with on Sundays. You know, it's. It's for fun. It's enjoy the ride. And if you get some success, hey, that's great. Good for you. Good for you. But if you go just looking for that, you're doing it for the wrong thing. You're not going to have fun with it.
Yeah, well said. And now we're kind of wrapping up. So I guess what's the future hold for you guys?
Aside from
the show tonight.
We're working on more music. We got a show tonight. We'll be back. We're going to be playing in Virginia on Memorial Day. So all you Brooklynites that want to head down to Virginia, that's a big festival we'll be playing. We're going to keep writing music. We don't have any immediate plans to stop. We want to keep putting out music, even if we can't play it as many shows. Just keep writing music. That as exciting as playing shows is, and tonight's going to be a fun night. Whenever you get to play in front of a big crowd like that, that's always great. It's just as exciting when a new song comes together and you first get that that feeling of, oh wait, we're doing something cool here. This is really great, and that's just as much fun. So go do it. We're gonna do it.
Is this like some of the biggest bands you guys have played with, Less Than Jake? And
we played a lot with a lot of big bands on a lot of festivals. We did Warped Tour a full year in, what was that, 2006? And in 2005, we did 2 weeks. So we got to play with a lot of big bands. But on just a show, this might be the best lineup we've ever played with Mustard Plug and Less Than Jake on the same show where it's only four bands. That's pretty crazy.
That's insane. So where exactly is that happening again? Just tell the day and the I mean, it's happening today, but like what venue
where,
is it?
Yeah, where is it at?
Oh, we'll be at Revolution tonight. I believe it's sold out. So if you have a ticket already, we'll see you tonight. If not,
you're boned.
Yeah.
Gotta go to the secondary market.
Yeah, StubHub. Get on StubHub and pay a lot of money for a ticket. And yeah,
it's like up to $100 now, right?
Or go to Virginia. Or go to Virginia in May, and you can see us there.
You can't say we didn't give you some lead-in time for that show.
Yeah. you get your hotel now, plan your ride, all of it.
I did want to ask real quick, do you have any like kind of weird stories of some of these bigger bands that you've played with? Like anything you could share, like meeting a person you looked up to or something?
Sure. We played in 2006, we were on the Warped Tour, and we got that summer we played as the horn section, the three of us. George played trumpet, Dave on trombone, and myself on saxophone with Against Me all summer. And that was great. Those guys were amazing to us, and that's probably the coolest thing we've gotten to do as a band that this has kind of led to. But through that, when we started playing with them, we got to meet a lot of other cool people on main stages. I remember we met the guys from Anti-Flag in a gas station while we were on that tour, and they were all telling us how much they liked our band and stuff, and they couldn't have been the nicer guys for like this heavy, hard punk band that, you know, is all anti-government and stuff. They were like the nicest guys to us. I remember the guys in Rise Against were real cool to us on that tour, too. Yeah, I don't know if I have any... Such a funny...
Nothing weird, nothing like...
You got something weird, one of you guys?
I mean, nothing that I want to potentially put out into...
We'd like to still play with those bands.
Yeah. Right, so we're going to plead the fifth.
Don't want to burn all our bridges on a Sunday afternoon.
You should have gotten us in that gap where we weren't being a band from 2006. We would have told you anything.
Book that guy.
We'll put out a tell-all as soon as we're done. Right. I'm really down for the count.
When you guys graduate to like college football heroes, right, then it's like the next level. You can write a memoir about your times as high school football heroes.
Yeah, right now we're just going to plagiarize it.
So just to kind of wrap up, where can people follow you guys, find you? I mean, I know it's just like fucking Google, Facebook, or whatever.
We are on the internet.
How's it going, man? Yeah.
Go to the internet. We'll find us there. High School Football Heroes. Heroes is HEROES. People have problems with that one. Check us out. We're on Facebook. We're on Bandcamp. All of our music's for free on Bandcamp, or some of it is at least. I'm not sure 100%, but...
Yeah, I mean, everything's up on the usual suspects, Apple Music, Spotify. So you can find the newer stuff pretty much anywhere, as well as our older albums. So check it out.
Yeah, we got some YouTube stuff. We've been putting together a vlog. You can check out All About Today, our whole day here. Here, I'm going to start recording right now. Boom.
Oh, wow.
We're in the vlog.
Hey.
This is the vlog.
I need to flex. Oh. It
You flexed?
I had a flex. A
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, get that in there.
Hang on. Look at that.
All right.
It's like a marshmallow on a twig.
We're supposed to be gaining fans here, not you guys. And after people see those muscles.
I know. They're like, well, why hasn't he been bodybuilding for a while here?
Awesome. Thank you guys so much for coming. Really appreciate it. This is a big one for us. We've been trying to get you guys on for a while, as you guys know.
Hey,
like a
thanks
year.
For
it's like a year
us.
In the in working, kind of, right? Because we got go big, came to our apartment way back, and now we finally... Got George in here.
What episode number are we up to now? How you guys know?
We don't really keep as good a track anymore.
Oh, yeah. We just kind of it starts every week. So this has been since the end of May.
Don't try to do math right now, bro.
20?
It's not going to work out for
us. Okay. We start the podcast like 25, and so this is probably
season four.
This is season four now, so we don't even know. We don't even keep track of numbers.
Okay,
anymore.
Cool. Yeah, you guys are beyond numbers. I like that.
We supersede numbers at this point.
it's just so like automatic. We're like, it's just another show, you know?
Right. Makes sense to me.
Awesome.
The limo's coming to pick us up right after this. So,
Our Red Bull limo. We're sponsored by Red Bull, right,
yeah,
by the way.
Our equipment truck hit a little traffic on the way here. So.
That was the little delay at the beginning, guys. But
as soon as we get cut off the air, you guys aren't going to talk to us anymore, right? You guys are too big time.
My you know, fur time. Coat is going on, being placed on my body, and I'm just getting chauffeured right on out through the back door. So,
all right, awesome. Thank you guys so much. I just want to say... if anybody out there wants to donate to Radio Free Brooklyn, we have a Patreon. You can go to radiofreebrooklyn.com. Or you can go to patreon.com/RFB and you can find out there. You get stuff for giving something, and that's a good thing, right? You get like a t-shirt for $10, you get $15, you get a hoodie, you get a handshake for a buck or something. I don't know, but you get something. And
just check it out. We'll look it up, and you know, helps us keep on going, keep this community thing rolling. So
and as always, find us on Facebook, find us on Instagram. It's at Stroll Show BK.
Stroll Show BK.
And also, I just want to say that I did think of a better 90s movie, Face Off.
Oh, that's a good one.
I was shocked that we got through that whole part with nobody mentioning Pulp Fiction.
That's a good one.
I was going to say, no one asked me, and I wanted to say, I want to say I like Rookie of the Year from like a childhood standpoint. I just wanted to say that because I've been waiting to say that for the whole show.
Put it home, bro. Yeah. Well done. So we'll be back next week with, who do we got next week? We got Float.
Old friends from the podcast days as well. So they're coming back on. They just recorded a new album, so we'll talk to them next week.
And as always, I want to say one thing to our boy Vinny out there. Hang on, Vinny.
Vinny, you up, bro?
Are you up?
Another.
It's about that time again, so pack your bags and get ready. Hitting the road with the best of friends, and you know that you're gonna rock steady. And gotta listen to your teacher when you're getting wasted by the beach again. You got Ballyhoo pumping in your stereo. This is a summer jam song, here we go. Say, jump out of line, start to unwind. Before you gotta get back to the grind, and don't waste a minute of your summertime. Sing it one more time. Slutty, ha! Somebody broke into the weed again. Figured to 60 seconds upon the cake stand. Invited 1,000 people into the hotel. You never get in trouble, but go straight to hell. Say, jump out of line, start to unwind. Jump, jump. Before you gotta get back to the grind. And don't waste a minute of your summertime. Jump, jump. Sing it one more time. Hey, 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 hey. Jump out of line, start to unwind. Jump, jump. Before you gotta get back to the grind. And don't waste a minute of your summertime. Corona and the line. Summertime, Corona.